We've been in a series. Obviously, last week we celebrated the resurrection, and guess what? This week we still celebrate the resurrection. But we've been in a series even prior to that called The Way of the Master. You remember? We haven't forgotten yet, right? We started out a couple weeks ago. I spoke mainly in the vein of God motivating us with love. If we're looking at the way of the Master, the way of Jesus, the complete foundation is love. And we can't get away from that. Dennis Ekubina came in and he shared on prayer. And you can't get away from prayer. When you look at Jesus, the way that he moved and operated was through prayer. And he continues to pray. He continues to make intercession for us. He's interceding for us right now in this moment. Isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome? You have an intercessor this morning. Some people are like, man, I just wish somebody would pray for me. You know, you got someone praying for you 24/7. You've got the one that gave his very life for you, interceding for you every second of every day. So when you feel like you're alone and forgotten and there's nothing that's going right, guess what? You've got an intercessor who's got it all under control. And guess what? He even gives you access to be there right with him. Right there with him. Isn't that awesome? We sang about it, and I'm just going to turn here before I go anywhere else. Zephaniah chapter 3. You just need to hear this morning. Men, stick with me, because sometimes we don't like this lovey-dovey kind of speech where we're talking about God loving on us, singing over us. You know what? We need to get over that. We need to get over that. Sometimes our shallow facade of hardness, of strength, really isn't thicker than a piece or a sheet of paper. But what we really need this morning is not to look tough. We need to be tough. You know how you get strong? You allow the Lord to fight for you. You know how you get strong? You allow the Lord to sing over you, to fill you with his presence, to fill you with his word. Without it, there's no strength at all. Zephaniah chapter 3, starting in verse, let's see. Lord, where do you want to go? We'll start in 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your judgments. He has cast out your enemy. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall see disaster no more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion. Let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. Let me repeat that again, because that kept coming up in our time of prayer this past Friday. The Lord is mighty. The Lord is mighty. The mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Hallelujah. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. Behold, at that time I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame and gather those who were driven out. I will appoint them for praise and fame in every land where they were put to shame. At that time, I will bring you back. Even at that time, I gather you. For I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. This is the nature of our God. I understand he's talking to a literal people within Jerusalem. He's talking to his own special nation. But he deals with us the very same way. The same way he dealt with Israel in the Old Testament is the same way he deals with us in the New Covenant. He loves us with an everlasting love. His desire, whenever we are cast out, is to bring us back in, to make a way for us. When we don't feel loved and complete in our lives, he calls us in and gives us identity. He sings over us until we're able to receive that identity. When he sings over us, it's not just a lullaby to put us to sleep. When he sings over us, he's prophesying destiny into our very lives, our beings. He's giving us fuel for the days ahead. And I don't know about you, but I need fuel for the days ahead. I see what's around me. I see what's in the present. I see what's on the horizon. And I know that I must have fuel for the days ahead. And so I say, Lord, give me more of your oil. Lord, if you want to sing over me to give me that oil, sing over me to your heart's content. If you want to deposit it some other way, do whatever it takes. If I need to be crushed into powder so that I can receive, do whatever it takes. And hear me, that's a bold prayer to pray, because sometimes we know the Lord does that, doesn't he? But it hurts so good. When we come into places of suffering, it is not for our harm, it is for our good. God truly works all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purposes. That's not a cute scripture to just post on your fridge to say, hey, it's all going to work out, everything's going to be okay, and then have a mindset like, que sera, sera, what will be, will be. No. He works all things together for good for those that are loving him and called according to his purpose. If you're called according to his purpose, then you're demanded to respond to that purpose. We've got a commission this morning. Do you believe that you are all commissioned? Is anybody confused on what your mission is this morning? Is anybody afraid to raise your hand because you don't want to look like you don't know? It's okay. I understand classrooms. We all do that. And usually the ones that need the most help are the last ones to raise their hand, right? And then they go on and they wonder why they're getting bad grades in school and stuff like that. But they never ask the teacher the question. Do you know we have a great teacher this morning in the Holy Spirit? We got a great teacher in the Word of God. We've got a great teacher in Jesus. He is Rabbi this morning. When I say we are all commissioned, we know the Great Commission. I'll just make that plain. If you know nothing else about what God has called you individually, know that he has called us all to go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature, right? To every creature. What do you do when you're preaching? What accompanies that? Somebody help me out this morning. See signs and wonders that look like what? What will you do as you go and preach the gospel? Heal the sick? Raise the dead? Cast out devils? Demons? Pick up what? Pick up serpents and they won't harm you? We're not snake handling this morning, but guess what? There's nothing that can come against you when you are on mission with Jesus. Because we have a great commission, that means each and every one of us are granted authority in this life. You have authority from the King of Kings, the Lord of all. And if you understand authority at all, it's not like you went down to Walmart or to Food Lion, praise God for those places, but if you got authority from that manager to take on another country, do you think that authority would go very far? If the manager of Walmart said, hey, you can go ahead and take over the kingdom of Russia, do you think that Putin would be happy or would receive that commission? No, no. But if you come in the name of Jesus, if you come in the name of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, everything is different. I'm not trying to organize a militia here this morning, and I'm not sending you to Russia either. Hey, maybe you're supposed to go, but I'm just saying that's not what we're about this morning. What we're about is following the Great Commission that Jesus has given to us. He's given us authority. And as we're talking about the way of the Master this morning, I want you to understand that he walked in tremendous authority. He had all authority. All authority is what the Word of God says. Does your Bible say that too? All authority has been given to him by his Father. And not only that, all power, all dominion, all glory, everything required, not just authority, but the power to accomplish what that authority is supposed to do was with him. You with me? When Jesus walked, he walked the earth and he rose up some disciples. He called them to first come and see and then come and follow. Isn't it interesting that he wanted them to see something first before they followed? He gave them an example. This is what life will be like for you. Come and see what the kingdom of God looks like. The two brothers coming out of that fishing boat that he said, come and see. John chapter 2. You can read it later. He calls them. They come, they begin following after him, and then all of a sudden Jesus starts doing signs, wonders, and miracles. He turns the water into wine. He heals the blind eyes. He raises the dead. He does all kinds of works. And in the midst of the process, as the disciples come alongside of him, they're learning the way of the master. And mostly what they find is that they have to unlearn everything they've ever known up in their lives up until that point. And then when they think they figured it out, they've got to continually learn and let go of some things. Isn't that our lives? We say yes to Jesus and we think, I have decided to follow Jesus. Great song. But guess what? He saved you. He chose you. You didn't decide nothing really. He came in and he ravished your soul. He bought you with a great, tremendous price, and you'd be a fool not to respond to it. You'd be a fool not to let go. But then, somewhere in our lives, we find ourselves falling prey to the things of the world where we exchange truth for a lie. Where we exchange the fact that Jesus said, you're going to do all these things, and even the things that I've done and I've shown you, you're going to do greater. It's better that I go away. And that's a confusing thing as well. We've talked about this before. Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus were standing right next to me this morning and I didn't have to have this microphone? I just, here, you talk to them. Wouldn't that be a lot? In the natural, it seems like that would be better. But it's better that I go away for you so that not only do you have the authority that I command you, this commission that I give to you, you will have the power to do so inside of you. You will have the Holy Spirit, my Spirit inside of you that will quicken you in every moment. He will be the power at work in you that will heal the sick. He will be the power that will work in you to cast out those devils. That when you speak out in obedience, the power to do it comes from me. It's better that I go away so that you can be empowered and not just commissioned. The way of the Master is one of immense fellowship and love and adoration towards the Father. Did you see that in Jesus last week a couple weeks ago when Dennis was talking about praying to the Father? I mean, Jesus, he did it early, he did it late at night, he got himself alone. Every waking moment, it seems like every chapter, there's multiple occasions in each chapter in the Gospels of Jesus finding himself in a place of prayer. Mostly private, but often public as well. I share this because in our lives, in our devotion, in our way to receive, this is the main point that I want you to receive today, that the way of the Master carries authority and power, okay? That's what we're talking about. The way of the Master is both authority and power. And Jesus found that power in connection with his Father. We started out the year abiding in Christ and John 14, 15, 16, you get into these chapters talking about being connected to the vine and abiding in Christ and abiding in that place where apart from the Father, apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Jesus understood as Son of God, yes, he could have acted completely as God, but he relinquished himself and became Son of Man, right? He became flesh. He dwelt among us. He humbled himself. And so he operated in a way to show us how to act and how to live. He received that communion with the Lord. He received that power and anointing from his fellowship with the Father. He cried out. I know I'm bouncing around a little bit, but you're going to receive this morning. He cried out that we would be one just as he and the Father were one. If there's one thing that I can say right now in this moment, in this season of history, really for all of history, but right now there is a critical cry in the Spirit for there to be unity amongst the bride of Christ, for there to be unity amongst brother and sister, for there to be reconciliation that takes place, for there to be differences that are laid aside, and for there to be one name lifted up in this season, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, to work together with each other, not against each other, to show the love of God, that there would be a unification that takes place. Can I tell you that will never happen if we don't find ourselves in constant connection with our Father? It will never happen. It's not humanly possible. Why? How do I know that? I've got 4 kids. I can tell them all day I want them to be in unity. I can tell them all day, I want you to be at peace. How many of you know we took a 10-hour trip over this past week because it was spring break? How many of you know we didn't have 10 complete hours of peace? It wasn't that bad. It actually was pretty good. But still, it wasn't possible for them to go that long without something taking place. And I can't even remember what those things were. Neither could they. But you know, we get on each other. Just spending a few hours in the same close quarters, we tend to get at each other's throats. And you want to one-up, my family is a competitive family. And so it doesn't even matter if what you're arguing over, it was completely, I'll say, stupid. You'll argue just for the sake of wanting to win the argument. And that doesn't get you very far. Some of you are laughing because you're like, I've been there. I did that this morning. You know, you're saying these things, and just because of that competitive nature, you're like, I got to win. But really, the only way to win is to what? Not to fight. You have to lay it down. And there are times when, yeah, correction needs to happen. There's times when truth needs to be spoken, but it's not in the midst of an argument. Have you ever seen truth diffuse something in an argument? No. Truth is important, but love and sacrifice and surrender are the only things that diffuse an argument. And how do you receive that? Straight from the heart of God. Because when he was betrayed, when he was accused, when he was beaten and rejected, even on the cross, again, we're bringing this back up because we still don't understand it. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. Forgive them. A cry for unity was in the heart of Jesus. And he's anointing his disciples, going back. He's raising them up, and you guys remember, he sent them out 2 by 2, right? He sent them out, and he anointed them to do the very same things that we're called to do with the Great Commission. To go out, lay hands on the sick. Bring sight to the blind. I mean, it's Isaiah 61. Jesus is commissioned to do it. He's walking in that anointing, and he's like, guess what? The same authority that I have, I give it to you. I anoint you to do this. But when he was doing it with the disciples, it was a limited time. It was a limited time where they could do exactly what Jesus was telling them to do, as we see it in the Gospels. You guys remember these occurrences? I don't need to go there, do I? Okay, most of you are shaking your heads. You're with me. Praise God. So they're going about, and they're doing all these signs and wonders. What begins to happen? What begins to happen in their hearts? They begin to get excited that demons are responding to them. They begin to get excited that all of these things begin to happen at their hands. And isn't it funny how the moment that we recognize that we're so in need of a Savior, and then he begins to transform our lives, build us up into something, and tell us to go share it with the world, that during the first few instances, we want to go and claim that glory. We want to go and take credit for something that was not ours ever. How many of you can heal the sick this morning? Trick question. Yes, you can. Yes, you can, because Christ is in you. But we know that it is Christ that is doing the healing. We do understand that. But I don't want your mind to get in the way. You can heal the sick. You. Toby, Edwin, Josh. We can heal the sick. You can heal the sick. Why? Because the same spirit that was in Christ, that resurrected Christ from the dead, lives and resides in you. We don't take the glory once it happens, but you cast out the devils. I know I'm bouncing around. Hopefully this is making sense. When Paul's going around, the apostles are going around, and you see different ones come on the scene that start operating in the same way. They use the name of Jesus, and all of a sudden these ragtag bunch of guys are starting to do some things, and then this powerful stronghold comes up and looks them in the eye and says, "Paul, I know, Peter, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? Who are you?" That's using authority without power. That's using authority without identity. That's using authority in a place of fraud. And I dare say that many of us find ourselves at times trying to operate as frauds, even though we've surrendered to Christ at one point. We find ourselves, even in those moments, operating as frauds because we're not doing something according to the leading of the Holy Spirit or according to the obedience of His Word. We're doing it to do something to make a name for ourselves. We're doing something so that we can start a following. We're doing something so that we can earn some green. We're doing something so that we can be motivated some other way. Can I tell you, the kingdom of God is not about drinking. It's not about eating. It's not about creating wealth for ourselves, even though God provides everything that we will ever need, and He's not against blessing people. We understand that, right? Let me just address that real quick. If God the Father was against blessing, then He would never pave the streets of heaven with gold. He wouldn't have pearly gates. He wouldn't have these things in heaven. He's not against blessing and amazing things. He's not. What He's against is hearts that are against Him. There's a few things that the Lord hates, right? And we know Proverbs says that. Most of them dealing with things that the tongue has to deal with. Especially lying, right? Especially lying. Creating false witnesses and doing these things with our tongues. Sometimes we find ourselves caught up in a lie. Thinking that we're trying to proclaim truth, but we're caught up in a lie. I believe that right now in this moment that we live in, we have to be very careful, very cautious, not to get caught up in lies. It says in the last days, even the elect will become deceived. Can I tell you, if that's been spoken, it's going to happen. It's happening, but it's going to happen. So that tells me I need a deeper connection with the Father, because the Father will keep me in check. He leads me into all truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. How do you stay out of deception? You stay in the truth. You stay in the light. Darkness will come, but light dispels the darkness. Darkness comes in the last days. Thessalonians talks about it. He comes. We talked about this in the men's group on Friday night. About the Lord, when He returns, He'll come like a thief in the night, right? Have you ever focused on that? The Lord's going to return. He's going to come like a thief in the night. You don't know when it's going to be. But if you read the whole passage, it says that those that are His, you're not surprised at all, because you carry the light within you. And so therefore, you're not even asleep. There is no night around you. You shine like the noonday sun. And so therefore, there is no surprise. When the Lord returns, you're expectant and you're praising Him for it. When that trumpet sounds, you're going to be ready. And you're going to praise him because that blessed hope finally came to a conclusion. Some reason we got all these movies that make us think, oh my goodness, it's going to happen when we least expect it. No, it's going to happen right when you're shining the light of Jesus. Right when you're being the remnant in the last days, the bride of Christ, pure and spotless, no blemish. A people that have both authority and power because they're submitted to Christ and they're finding themselves connected to the Father. Are you understanding me this morning? Turn with me real quick just to John chapter 2. I won't go much longer. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 is a great chapter. And sometimes we take this as too foundational. So it's like, oh, John 3:16 is in there. We're just going to skip over this chapter and go to the next one. Have you ever done that with certain things in Scripture? I'm not saying you do that. Hopefully we're disciplined in this house. I know many of you are. But I know that there's sometimes we have this ability in our flesh to say, I got that. I got it. I know that. How many of you know the closer you get to the Lord, the less you know? The life of devotion to Christ is a continual unlearning and letting go and dying. You receive fresh revelation, but the whole process in the midst of the revelation, he's letting things off of you. Jesus, when he spoke with the disciples, he spoke very powerfully, but there was many times he would say, I can't reveal these or release these things to you yet. You're not ready to bear them yet. Why? One, because they didn't have the Holy Spirit within in them, but two, it's a lifelong process. It's a lifelong process, and we want to just get it all now. We want to get the download, the instant, the right now. But that's not the way things take place. Praise God for him delivering us sometimes instantaneously, you know, from a bondage or from an addiction or from a lifestyle or something like that. And we know that the Lord does that. But the whole way of the Master is about a way of life. We're going to be learning. We're going to be learning in heaven. Do you know that? You're going to have continual revelation. The things that you don't know now, you still won't know eons from now. But you'll be learning. And it's going to be exciting. I will say, you won't be confused. All right, so John chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees, and I really do like Nicodemus. I do like him for his heart. And I do believe that there's much more to the untold story that I would love to know. Even more than what the Chosen series would show you and stuff like that. I believe there's more to Nicodemus than we know. The fact that he was there at the cross and he was there getting the body of Jesus and he was there. I mean, there's so much. Anyway, just like him, we don't need to have our stories told to everyone. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? What an amazing picture, right? It's like my mind hurts. I can't go back in. I don't know how it all works, but that can't work. Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Hold on a second. Did anybody catch that? Okay, so we understand what he's saying, but do you realize the revelation of that? That Those that are born of the Spirit, it's like the wind. You can see the effects of the wind, but you don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it goes. You realize we're okay with this? We're okay with not knowing is basically what that's saying. We're okay with not understanding the source, but relying on the source. As a Spirit-led people, we must be born of the Spirit that we don't necessarily, we care, but we don't need to know where it comes from. Just when it's happening, I'm going along with it. That when I feel the wind of the Spirit coming on my face, I need to discern in that moment, is this for refreshing or is this to turn me around and blow me that direction? That when the Spirit is blowing, is it to do something, to blow something out and cause it to stop? Or is it to ignite something, because we know even fire itself cannot continue without oxygen. It needs the wind to be able to bring fuel to it. So the Spirit's moving, and the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. How do you know? Because you've got a whole slew of generations of meteorologists trying to tell you where the wind comes from and where it's going, but they're still wrong more than 50% of the time. But still, we listen to them. You ever hear, liar, liar, pants on fire? Wouldn't the news and the meteorology be so much more fun if that were true? All of a sudden, every time they lied, their pants caught on fire? I mean, that'd be every second of every day, every newscast, there would be, sorry. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know, we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe the heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Hold on a second. Did he catch all of that? Maybe, maybe not. Think about this. Verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how you will believe if I tell you heavenly things? We recognize that there's earthly revelation that you can have in this life, the things that will help you in this life for the right now. But how many of you know there's heavenly realities? I said there's heavenly realities. Jesus cries out a couple chapters later and on other occurrences when the disciples are saying, Lord, teach us to pray. What does he say? On earth. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because some of the things on earth are not as they are in heaven. And so, for there to be heavenly things revealed to you, first we need to figure out what's going on the earth down below. Let's get that in order first. My life is no longer my own. I live it unto him. I was created for fellowship with my master, with my creator, with Abba Father, with Messiah leading the way, with Holy Spirit teaching me and guiding me and leading me, all three together. And then all of a sudden, he explains it a little bit more, and he says, no one has come down from heaven. That is the Son of... Wait, sorry. Let me read this correctly. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Is that confusing to you? Or do you just you say, that's good, I got it? Because Jesus is basically saying, I'm the Son of God that was in heaven, that came down from heaven, but I'm also in heaven right now. Do you understand? That's what that says. So how is that possible? How can he be both there and in heaven at the same time? Because he's God, yeah. Let me put it this way. Paul got the understanding that as us having Christ inside of us, he said, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? We are seated with him in heavenly places. How are we seated with him? We are seated. Seated is in a place of authority. You sit down as in a place of authority. We are in authority position with Jesus. We have access with him in the throne room of heaven. Even as he's making intercession for us, we have access to be right there with him. We're seated with him in heavenly places. Jesus is showing us the way yet again. I'm walking on the earth. Guess what? Not only am I here, but I'm also in heavenly places. Because I am before, I am now, and I am everlasting. I am outside of time. That's why I can also be in heaven the same time that I'm on the earth as the Son of Man. Isn't that wild? Mind-bending, right? I'm not going to say I fully understand all of that, but there's something we need to recognize, that as we live, we should live according to the way Christ lived, the way that he walked. He walked with that understanding. So it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. The way of the master is the way of light. The way of the master exposes everything, and we're okay with it. We're okay with saying, Lord, search me and know me, O God. Find any part of me. Find any part of me that does not reflect you. Find any part of me that is not righteous, hasn't been kissed by that place of you and turned into that place of exchange. Find that place within me that you've already taken, but I've taken back. Find that place within me that I've exchanged truth for a lie. Find that place within me that I've held on to a stone of grief. I've held on to a stone of offense. I've held on to a stone of doubt and unbelief. I've held on to a place where I don't trust you any longer. I trust you in all of these areas, but for this healing, I can't trust you. I believe you for all of this, but for this salvation, I don't know if it can happen. I trust you in all of this, but because of my experience, and because of my disappointment, I cannot trust you. Search me and know me and expose the evil within me. Evil is simply this: not trusting in God. Evil is not what Disney and Hollywood and all these places would try to make you think. It's not something ugly. Yeah, there is things of darkness. Yeah, there's some caricatures and there's some representations that might be in line. But guess what? Evil is simply not trusting in God. That's all it takes for you to live apart from him for all eternity. To say, depart from me, I never knew you, is because there's never been a trust relationship. And so Jesus walked the earth showing us how to deepen our trust with God. How to trust in him for our every need. When tempted by the devil and being commanded to turn the bread into us, or the stone into bread so that he could have something to eat, he reminds the devil of his very own words: man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is our sustenance. This hour, this season, our sustenance comes from God. It doesn't come from all kinds of vain prophecies. And I will say this, and I want to be careful because I do believe the Lord is speaking and there are valid prophets in this hour. I do believe there are valid prophecies that are taking place. But can I tell you, when there's one that is authentic, there's 1,000 that are inauthentic. Do not be confused by the things that come your way. Can I tell you, I don't want to say this jokingly, but Jesus is not coming back tomorrow. Why? Because somebody said that he's coming back tomorrow. That tells me he's not coming back tomorrow. He could come back right now, but it's not tomorrow. I don't want to be, you know, mishandled with this. I believe that the eclipse that's taking place over the United States is something that, yeah, you can take notice of, but it's not a worldwide event. The world does not see this eclipse. America sees the eclipse. So therefore, if there's any prophetic message, it's for America. If there's any prophetic message, it's for our nation. It's not for Israel, although it may affect them in long term. You understand that if there's any nation that needs mercy right now, it's America. If I see one more thing come up on my newsfeed about legislation, about abortion, about this, about, you know, just all kinds of, you want to talk about evil. You want to talk about selfishness. If I don't trust God, then I give myself license to have lust for other things. If I don't trust God, then I don't fear him. So therefore, I will find things to make my life worth a meaning, make it meaningful. And so I will seek out pleasures. I will seek out things in this life. And so I will find things that will allow me to make my flesh continual king instead of what God created us all for our spirits to be king over our lives, so that we can be in constant communication with him. This whole thing about the eclipse, can I just say, focus on the Son of God, the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the world. Don't focus on the natural sun. You'll be blinded. Are you hearing me? Physically and spiritually, you will be blinded if you only look to the signs in the heavens. A wicked and perverse generation seeks for a sign. Same token, I understand there will be signs that show you the end times are here. Can I tell you, it's been happening for a long time. You don't need another eclipse to tell you it's time. Live every day like it's your last. Live every day as giving glory unto the King of Kings, the King of Majesty, and allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. You will give an account as believers, not for what others do, but for what you have done and for what you have not done. Our judgment is for our own lives. There will be nobody else that comes around you when we go to that judgment. We won't be condemned, but we will be judged. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But every word, every act, every deed, everything that we were supposed to do, we'll give an account. Will we have crowns to lay at the Lord's feet? Will we have riches to give back to him? Because that's the response of a lover of Jesus. That's a response of one that walks in the way of the Master. Jesus saw the cross as a joy set before him because he could see beyond the cross. He wept and he bled in the garden because he wasn't sure if his flesh could handle it and if he could get through it as the Son of Man alone, because he knew he could do it as the Son of God. He knew he could cause himself to come down off of that cross, but he didn't know if he could do it in the natural flesh as Son of Man. And so it was a cup that he wished could pass before him, but nevertheless, he looked at it as something that was joy set before him. Can I tell you, in this season, it doesn't matter what you're facing, as long as the Lord has called you to do it, run into the fire, because he'll be with you. Run towards the shaking, because you won't be shaken. Allow your voice to be loud and clear, because the voice of God needs to be spoken in a land that is deaf, dumb, and needy of a God to come and save. Mighty is our God, mighty to save. The one who's rejoicing over you, the one who sings over you, is not just singing over you so that you can fall asleep. It's so that you can come alive and that he can save others with you, that you can share what he has placed inside of you. I'm talking about the way of the master is multiplication. The way of the master is disciple others so they can make disciples. The way of the master is to do as I have done, to walk as I have walked, to pray as I have prayed, to fellowship as I have fellowshipped, to sacrifice as I've sacrificed, to love as I've loved, and to die as I've died. Every single day. That's the gospel. That's the way of the master. Guess what? Things are going to get crazy. The Lord spoke to me earlier this year. I shared it at the time of our prayer and fasting with our elders, the beginning of the year. I believe you've seen some earthquakes. There's going to be a lot more earthquakes this summer. I know it. But I don't get motivated by fear. I'm motivated by love. And so I'm praying, God, as these things take place, have mercy upon the bride of Christ that is sleeping and slumbering and walking in darkness, that need to be awoken, awake. Arise, O sleeper, arise. Arise. Be alert. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, seeks to devour you and puts you to sleep. Stay awake. Stay awake. Feast on this. You'll be able to discern. You won't be moved. You won't be entertained by vain conspiracies. The Word of God talks about that. Don't give your attention to vain conspiracies. Now, I understand it can be hard to discern what's a conspiracy and what is truth, because we know there are a lot of true conspiracies that go on. Evil has its way of being evil and doing dark deeds and all this kind of stuff, but my, oh my. Worship team, help me close. You can do it. I believe in you. Can we just be the family of God today? Talking about being authentic with Jesus. Elijah, I value you and I appreciate you. I just want to say that. I know you don't look for this and you don't necessarily need it, but sometimes you do need it. You do need to know that as you stand at the gates of hell, day in and day out, making your stand at a place where there's constant accusation, there's constant backlash and spiritual, just adversity that takes place, we value you. And we stand with you. If you don't know what he's doing, he's I don't know, how many times a week? 4 to 5 times a week, he stands at one of the abortion clinics in our city. And he stands for life. He stands for truth. He doesn't condemn. He's not one that, you can give a clap for that. Now here comes the sting part. Join him. Join him. How does darkness continue? There's not enough light. There's not enough light. There's a lot that's taken place in our city. There's a lot of ground that we have taken, but there's still so much more. There's so much more in the hearts of humanity. Who was it that said it was a CT stud? I'd rather make my place, mission place, at the gates of hell than to, I'm messing up this quote. C.T. Studd said something really good. It was really cool. Somebody Google it. You'll find it. I'd rather, oh man. Somebody will find it and you'll bring it to me. It's okay. We'll take time for that when it comes. My, oh my. Now is an hour to be bold. To be bold. To be bold. You may not feel like you can be bold, but guess what? The Holy Spirit comes upon you and boldness comes. It's a fruit of the Spirit, is boldness and courage. It's empowerment. His grace empowers us to look to look death in the eye and smile. We don't try to die in the natural sense. No, we want to bring others into life. But if it takes us dying, you know, it is what it is. We don't do things foolishly. We do things with wisdom. Christ is wisdom itself. Wisdom's a person. We find ourselves in, oh my goodness. Lord, let my children wake up one day and see a generation that's worshiping you. Let my children awaken one day and not have to worry about confronting varying identities, but having a collective voice that's pointing to the Son of God. Anybody find that quote? Who's got it? It's coming up. You've all got it. Now you save it. Some want to live within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. How comfortable do we want to be? How much do we want to just live this life to get through it, to extend our years, to go through all these operations and get all this medical treatment to extend our natural life, when really what we should be focusing on is extending the life of Christ? I'm not saying don't take care of your body. Take care of your body. Eat healthy. Do exercise. But my goodness, give your heart to the King of Kings. Make every day a day of adoration and a song for Him. Try to outdo the Lord's song with your song. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing inside of the hearts of those that are here. Lord, I thank you that this has not fallen on deaf ears, nor has it fallen on hard soil. But Lord, you've planted deep some things today. And Lord, I pray that you would water it quickly. That it would go deep and cause roots that cannot be shaken, God. That it would go down deep into the river, Lord, the river of life that never runs dry. That we are planted by these waters, God. That we are oak trees of righteousness. Lord God, I thank you that you are fortifying your bride in this season, God. Lord, that yes, we are beautiful. Yes, we are lovely. But Lord, we are full of strength because of the grace and empowerment of the Holy Spirit within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Lord, I thank you that we have the helmet of salvation. I thank you that we have the breastplate, Lord God, of righteousness, God. Lord, I thank you that we have the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, that our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. We have the belt of truth, Lord, wrapped around us, and we will be moved only as you move us. We'll move together and stay protected, living, Lord, for your glory. In your glory alone. Lord, I thank you that as you may have challenged some in this place, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Lord, I thank you for deeper surrender. I thank you for deeper devotion. I thank you for deeper commitment and sensitivity to the leading of your voice. That as the wind blows, we catch on. We throw up our sails and we say, Holy Spirit, take us. Holy Spirit, move. I don't want you to move just to make my fancy tickled. I don't want you to move just so that I have a momentary experience. I want to encounter you, God, so that your glory so infills me, so overflows from my heart and my life, that all around me there's a wake of your glory, God, and you are declared the one that is mighty to save. God, allow salvation to come from the hands of everyone in this house, God, that we would all do the work of an evangelist, telling of the goodness of our God in the land of the living. Lord, that we would be salt and light, God, seasoned, Lord God, to the uttermost. That we would be able to give, Lord, our response to every question that comes our way, not confused about what we believe, Lord God, or doubting whether or not we can stand for truth, but we would be bold as lions, Lord, and gentle as doves in the same stretch, God, operating in the love and compassion that you loved and moved with, God, that we would heal because of compassion that you place in our hearts, that we would feel what you feel, that we would see what you see, and things that are not as though they are, God. Lord, I thank you that you're shifting things, even now in the Spirit, God, that our declarations begin to change. Lord, I thank you that every marriage, there's things that begin to change. Words of life and not of death. Lord, in each and every individual, God, Lord, you've called us according to your purpose, God. My life for your glory. My life for your glory. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We come into the name that is above every other name.